Hey everybody, welcome to a very special episode of Naruto Revuto. We do not have a quote-unquote normal episode where we talk about our favorite show, Naruto, for you today, but what we do have is a little treat. I feel like all of us could use a little treat right now, so what we are doing is making our first monthly bonus episode, aka The Slice of Life. It's basically a show where we get together, we talk about stuff broadly, and answer patron questions and things like that. Just kind of like a behind the scenes slice of life type deal. So yeah, we decided to make this one free for all of you as a treat, since we don't have a normal episode this week. We want to thank all of our wonderful patrons for allowing this tier to exist. We especially want to thank all of our wonderful Kakashis for providing questions and topics to talk about. If you'd like to become a patron, head on over to patreon.com/NarutoRevuto. We're having a great time, as always, and I'm sure this little taste will be so juicy and you'll love it. All right, and enjoy. Bye. I have to go. Enjoy. Bye.
Everyone, and welcome to our very first Patreon bonus episode called Slice of Life. My name is Jessie, and I am joined today by Kim.
Yay! It's Jessie! I love Jessie! Y'all ever heard of Jessie?
I love Jessie.
We're also joined by Tim.
Sup?
And Josh.
Hello, welcome. Thank you for having me, Jessie.
Yeah. Welcome. I'm imagining we're at a little tea table and there's a little cake in the middle. I wish I could bake us a little cake. Okay.
Oh, hell yeah.
Awesome. So this is our Patreon bonus episode. This is our very first one, which is really, really exciting. So our idea for this is kind of getting suggestions from what our patrons would like to hear from us about basically anything. It doesn't even have to be Naruto related. It can absolutely be Naruto related though. So we're going to kind of take your suggestions and talk about them, and also maybe just talk a little bit about like whatever is happening in our lives that we want to share as well. So
yeah, I like that.
And since this is the first one, I feel like it's cute to kind of be a little more freeform, a little more holistic, a little more zen, a little more orb.
Yeah.
A little more orb. I don't know what
Love
I mean when
get
I say
orb.
That, but I think
I
everyone
like
knows
it.
What I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's an energy. It's a mood.
The Final Fantasy IX boss that is really hard that you have to fight as like the extra bad boss, I think his name is Ozma, is just a circle. It's like a weird circle like swirling bullshit. It's really hard. I don't think I beat it.
You can get
There's
it as a mount in Final Fantasy XIV.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, you can ride it as a mount. You actually fight it, and then you get it as a mount.
That's funny.
Final Fantasy XIV is some, like, god-level mind shit, galaxy brain shit.
Yeah! Damn, there's a lot of menacing orbs in JRPGs. It seems to be, like, a common thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Persona 4 Golden? Mm-hmm. Had that big bat orb.
Yes! The boss is an orb. The final boss is an orb. Persona 5 has a whole bunch of orbs. And I like the orbs that you hit, and when they say ouch, they kind of like break apart, kind of like one of those fucking orange eggs that people were into where you smash. It's chocolate. Yeah. It's a chocolate orange, and you hit it.
Oh!
Yes!
Man, I want to eat one of those.
I am obsessed with those. I don't ever know where to get them, but every time they appear in my life, I always want one.
Ooh, I don't. I think they're icky.
They seem like a Christmas treat.
Yeah. Chocolate and orange is not my friend. I don't know. It's not what I'm into. Josh and I are from Florida. Josh currently lives in Florida. Josh, is there still good orange sherbet? Is there still good like orange soft serve like around? Like, because I know in St. Pete, our big place, what the fuck was it called? I have no idea. It got shut down, and now it's like a fucking thrift store or something. But it's like an orange juice processing plant that you get fresh orange ice cream soft serve and orange sherbet. It was the fucking best.
Oh, that sounds
I have never
great.
Had any bad orange anything down here in Florida.
Mm.
I will say that there's this weird thing that Florida tries to say about having free orange juice at rest stops.
What?
I have never tried that. I've never tried that. Just because
I
don't know if it's like a tap or if like it's bottled and you just take one. I don't know how that works.
I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm just like, I don't come to a rest stop for orange juice.
No.
Especially because it's weird because Florida oranges is... So California oranges is what you drink. Florida oranges is everything else. And so there is some beef there between Florida and California. It's like... The most popular type of orange is a drunkable orange.
So. Oranges are to be consumed, like, fully.
Oh, they're so good. My nanny had a really good orange sherbet recipe, and I was obsessed with it. Like, I was like, what's the fucking recipe? Because she died, and I can't really ask her.
Yeah.
Well, let's get on a Ouija board.
Yeah, and I was like, what the fuck was it? So I texted my mom, and she's like, oh, it's just... Orange crush and condensed milk put together in an ice cream machine. And I was like,
my God.
What? I was like, I thought it was way more complicated.
Oh, damn.
Dude, but it's good as fuck. You find out the best shit is like accidental hillbilly shit.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's so fucking good. I encourage everybody to try crushed soda and sweetened condensed milk put together in an ice cream machine.
The best version of sangria that I've ever had includes a little bit of orange soda syrup, because you know at restaurants they don't buy soda, they buy the sweet bits, and then they mix it with the carbonation. So a friend of mine owns a series, or his family owns a series of Mexican restaurants in Florida called Carmelita's. Best Mexican food that I've ever had. My favorite, they have like white sauce enchiladas, so if you live in Tampa Bay, go check them out. Tell them Tim sent you. Exactly. Two people might know what you're talking about. They're probably not the people you're talking to. But if you ever go to the one in St. Pete or in, on Tyrone Boulevard, and no, I'm not gonna do that. But if you mention my last name, see what happens. don't do that. The odds of you finding someone that knows me are so low. But if you see a hot guy or what, they're important. Oh, sorry. So it's
my God.
red table wine, cinnamon. I always say brandy, but I don't think it's brandy. I don't know why I say it's brandy. I think it's rum. And then it's a little bit of Sprite, and it's the like actual Sprite, like the just from press the Sprite button on the like nozzle. But it's orange soda syrup a little bit in it. So he says when you make it their version at home. Open up the orange soda first and let it kind of get flat and then do it. So
that's genius.
Yeah. So I'm probably fucking up the entire recipe from memory, but try it sometime. It's really good.
I bet you could reduce soda. I've never tried to reduce soda, but I bet you could.
Oh, yeah. You can reduce soda because Gamer Cum is a drink that is reduced Mountain Dew.
Yeah, we made Gamer Cum and it didn't really work very well. It's gross.
Yeah, it's
Gamer
Cum. Oh, it was like, yeah, they reduced the Mountain Dew and then they added butter to it and then it kind of became like taffy. Fuck? And then they mixed it with like a gin.
No.
That is not from God. That is not from God. Gamer that cum. Is from like, the devil.
Literally not. It's not from God. Gamer cum is not from God.
Yeah.
We should add a Doritos to it.
Kind of love the idea of like rolling up to a on the border or something and then like getting seated and then talking to your waitress like, yeah, Tim Lanning sent me. So if you can get that sangria to me ASAP.
Please. Yes.
Please.
I slide you the secret menu.
Yeah.
So I'm famously allergic to alcohol, but there was a drink that was called a Florida margarita that I was told about.
Ooh.
That is the minute, like that frozen Minute Maid mix mixed with natural light. Tim, have you ever had that?
Hell yeah.
I have never had that. It sounds like awful.
Sounds like a tummy ache.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes shitty beer can taste sweet in a way that like not shitty beer can't. Like all beer is kind of is sweet for sure, but we did a blind taste test sort of thing. Like it was like basically a bracket, like a Final Four basketball style bracket.
Oh my god, of
beers, and it was so interesting because not knowing what they are and drinking little tiny cups of it, you definitely thought that like the shitty beer was good and the good beer was bad, yada yada yada. So I could totally see not knowing getting some natty thrown in there. I mean, the alcohol content is going to be almost non-existent, which for some summer drinks whips ass. Others, you kind of want to, you know, pour that fuel in the fire and just coast. But I could see it weirdly being good. But I don't know. A place near us does do beer cocktails. They're weird. And this is an idea that I had the other day. There's like a tweet that's like, don't make fun of me for ordering a quote unquote girl drink. You're drinking bread flavored soda. Get away from me. And, you know, part of me was like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, there should be something said to the fact that so few cocktails use beer. That should be, hey, man, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? I mean, obviously, a lot of cocktails don't use wine either, but that was just something that I kind of thought about of like, in case an IPA snob runs up at you, be like, why the fuck are you drinking this shit? It's like, well.
I know a Red Eyes beer and tomato juice. I know that's a cocktail that you make with beer.
Yeah, there's like Irish car bombs and shit like
Boilermaker. Question. What are y'all's go-to drinks?
Tab.
Josh, start with Josh.
Tab.
Tab. Okay, so I'll go first because mine's the disgustingest. So I personally, if I'm in a party mood, will drink Tab Cola. If I'm just chilling around the house, I'm wanting something nice, a nice crisp beverage for dinner, I'll probably go towards a Coke Zero or a Diet Coke.
Ooh,
If I'm gaming with the lads, definitely a Coke Zero. When I was a youth and I would go to parties, as I said, I'm famously allergic to alcohol. But of course, everyone else would be getting hammered and I would want to play beer pong or Circle of Death, King's Cup, whatever it's called. They would have to find something for me to drink because they didn't want me to be left out, but they also didn't think it was fair that they're punishing their bodies and I wasn't. I've had to chug heavy whipping cream. I have drinking sweetened condensed milk.
No!
Just like... they pull the ace, which is the chug, the waterfall, and I have to slam sweetened condensed milk until the person next to me stops.
No! Shit!
Oh, yeah. It's been the worst. Any type of, like milk-based, because I'm lactose intolerant, too, but, like, any type of, like, milk-based liquid something or other, I've usually, like, taken to the dome while everyone else is slamming, various beer cocktails. Damn. So those are also my party drinks.
Good.
Yeah.
So it depends, right? If I have two, and it kind of depends on where I am. If it's an open bar that I know I have to, that if it's a marathon, you know, type situation, it's either a gin and tonic or it's whiskey ginger. Gin and tonic's my current one. So like if you're at a wedding or like a work holiday party and I know I was like, I'm going to drink like 8 of these and it probably shouldn't be gin and tonic because gin and tonics fuck me up. but whiskey gingers was my go-to for a while, but I kind of switched off of them because a work party a couple years ago, they kept running out of ingredients. So they're like, well, no. We don't have ginger beer. I usually don't do ginger beer with it because it's just quicker to do ginger ale and whatever. But they did like scotch and shit like that. And he's like, it's the same thing. He's like, it is not the same thing. No, it's not. And I kept like talking to the other bartenders, like, that guy kept giving me this weird shit. So if it's like a simple, quick thing, I'll do like your three ingredient cocktails. If it's like me with my bro out, just fucking talking. It's Manhattan's, buddy. Fucking.
Tim, are we like secret siblings? Because my first go-to drink when I started drinking was gin and tonics. Yeah. Like when we go to like trivia nights, that's all I get. And like I'm sitting down and talking are always Manhattan's.
Huh. Wow.
I always get them on the rocks, never up.
I get them up normally, but yeah. Partially that's just because my friend Anderson. That's sort of how we bonded. So that sort of like feels like that was a thing somewhat recently. But you know, I mean, if I'm like doing if I'm playing board games, it's like you kind of want to ride that. Like I'm drunk, but I want to win. So probably just beer, but yeah. But as far as cocktails, gin and tonics is my current favorite. And Manhattan's is probably it's a good drink to test a new bar because
it really is.
Yeah, because they're so simple to make, but that's something that's so cool about cocktails is that like you can fuck them up so easily, and people make weird Manhattans. So I think that's a good one to test out.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah! So I get drunk very, very easily.
Hell yeah.
I'm a lightweight through and through, and I don't know why. It doesn't matter how much I drink frequently. I still tap out at like 4 beers. So,
understandable.
Also, I live in Beer City. So beer is my typical go-to. my favorite shitty beer is Miller Lite. I love Miller Lite a lot.
That's my favorite shitty beer too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My favorite non-shitty beer is Soft Parade, which is like a Michigan brewery. It's like kind of a sweeter taste to it, but it's also a little bit lighter on alcohol percentage, so which works for me because I can drink more. If I want to get fucked up easily, it's very, like I said, it's really easy for me to do. I can just drink 2 beers and I'm there. Or
if Isn't I want to go fucked up,
in a way, it's a blessing because I don't, I'm an easy date, you know? Like,
saves money.
My way of making fun of Jesse, if she's being wild in the chat, I was like, has Jesse taken exactly one sip of beer? Because the joy of Jesse is like, you know how like a cartoon drunk person is like stumbling? That is how Jesse is in the group chat. Like, all caps, everything misspelled. You know, it's so funny.
That's really very funny. Cute.
I get angry. Cute. I'm so jealous of it. Like, let me have that.
It's definitely like, oh, Jesse had a Zima. Like,
wine coolers are out tonight.
Yep,
that is adorable.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. For liquor, I do love a gin and tonic as well. Yes. It's just, it's such an easy one. And like, so you can't really fuck it up. So
yeah, it's refreshing. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like I just for a lark, I Googled a gin and tonic recipe just because I've been making them forever. Not forever. Recently. Because I used to be really big into... First, it was always like bourbon and stuff like that. And then I got into tiki drinks. And those are so sugary. And they require so many ingredients, including fresh fruit. And when you don't go to the grocery store that much because of lack of car or whatever, it got hard. And then I kind of switched over like gin and tonics and stuff like that. But like the... I always just do like, okay... 2 to 3 parts tonic, 1 part gin, and then lime. And so many recipes I saw was 50-50 each. And I was like,
that's a lot of gin.
Yeah,
that is
a
lot. That is very ginny.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but yeah.
Kim, do you have any other ones?
Yeah. So I started drinking gin and tonics because my grandma, that's what she would always order. I started drinking Manhattans because my dad, like, we bond over whiskey. Like, it's one of the things we talk about. Like, we both love Ryzen bourbons. So, like, for Christmas, he generally gets me a really nice bottle of whiskey.
Oh, cool.
But my drink, when I am hanging out with the girls or just want to treat myself, it's called a Hummingbird.
Ooh,
and it's champagne, Saint Germain, which is an elderflower liqueur, club soda, and lemon.
Oh my god.
It is. It tastes.
I just Googled Hummingbird.
Refreshing. It tastes like light. It's so nice and bubbly. And I'm a bitch who loves sparkling white wines, sparkling rosés. If it's got bubbles in it, I will drink it all.
Also, are you sure it's called a Hummingbird? Because the Googling I have is a lot of rum. Cream liqueur.
If you look up Saint Germain cocktail, that could also be it. I was taught it as a Hummingbird, but the Hummingbird is also like 20 different things.
Yeah.
It's probably one of those local things where it's like it has a name at one place and then it's like replicated and has like 150 names.
Yeah. For sure. We just got, there's this cocktail box, you know, like a Blue Apron thing, I forget what it's called, where they send you all the non-alcoholic drinks and then make fun cocktails. And this it sort of sucks because like our first month that we got it like several years ago, but when we re-upped because of COVID, the first one was like something that we're not super interested in. But it is a Saint Germain forward box, but it's like, so, I wonder if wonder if that drink is in there. That sounds, it's like, it's like refreshing, but I'm not going anywhere. So it's like, you know, I don't want refreshing. I want a punch in the fucking mouth.
I got you. I also, so for my birthday, I don't want things. what I always tell Ben is just like, for my birthday, I just want to go to a restaurant I've never been. Oh. And so my fancy restaurant drink is, after I've eaten, I always get a little glass of port if they have it. Oh, because I am an old grandma.
Oh, hell I yeah. Love that.
That's my dessert drink.
Oh, I love that so much.
What is
too sweet?
It is a sweet, thick red wine. It's a bit cough syrupy,
yeah,
but it goes really well with chocolate.
Oh, okay. It's cloying, I think is the term. Yeah. But also, you know, it's like meant to be extremely sipped, so
yes.
It's a different math, I guess.
All right, so do you guys want to get a little bit into some suggestions from our patrons?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hell yeah. So, if you are a patron listening right now and you want to submit a suggestion for us to talk about, simply go into the Discord for Naruto Revuto, and there's a suggestion channel open to you, and you can go ahead and put that in. However, suggestions are locked for Kakashi tiers and up. So, if you're Kakashi tier, yes, thank you so much. But, yes, go ahead and fill the suggestion channel with as many things as you would like. Awesome. So the first one we had that I thought would be fun, since it's pretty topical, is Haikyuu. Someone did want us to talk about Haikyuu and our feelings with Haikyuu. So I think for Haikyuu, what we can do is talk about like our favorite characters, why they're our favorite characters, if you really want to get into it, your favorite ships, and what you love, or if you don't like Haikyuu, mm-hmm. what you don't like about Haikyuu.
I prefer, I don't know if any of you read the manga?
No.
I have. I think I got to like 100 plus like chapters in, but then I haven't read it since.
Yeah. Do you know if the anime is caught up to where you read, or?
I have no idea. I honestly don't remember a lot of what I read, so I am not going to say any spoilers because don't remember things.
Yeah. I am caught up as the anime has aired, and Haikyuu is probably my favorite non- Full Metal Alchemist anime. It might even just be my favorite anime, just because, you know, it's just so good and emotional and all that stuff.
Yes.
Obviously, shipping Hinata and Kageyama together. I mean, it's so straightforward. But also, it's like, what's it, Tsukishima and the boy who serves. It's like, it feels like it's canon from episode one. Like, here's this fucking asshole and his Twinkie friend
who
he's only nice to, you know, mm-hmm, it's, mm-hmm. and like, can calm him down and all that shit. It's like so straightforward.
So I definitely have a really personal tie to Haikyuu in general. I was working at like a really shitty job at the time when it kind mm-hmm. of first became like available to watch. And on my lunch breaks, I would like take my iPad and like go to this weird corner in the cafeteria and I would just watch Haikyuu. And it was the highlight of my day every single day. It was a really customer service facing job, so I was just getting yelled at by people all the time. So to be able to like go and like watch Haikyuu on my lunch break was such a joy, and it truly helped me through that job like to such a high extent, because it's such an encouraging show, and it's such a feel-good show when you watch it, too. I'm not, like, a huge sports person by any means, but, like, oh, my God. Same. This made me want to play volleyball again.
Yes!
It's just so good. And all of the highs are so high, and, like, all the lows are so low, and it's just, oh, it just hits all those perfect emotional beats. So, yeah, I love Haikyuu a lot. I am not caught up, unfortunately. I really want to watch the newer season, but it's just time. Where is she? I think my favorite ship personally is Asai and Suga, the setter and the ace towards like the beginning of the show. I'm sorry, I might be butchering the names. It's been a really long time since I've watched it this point. So, but I really love their dynamic. I really love that like Asai would kind of like start to get a little panicky, and then Suga was always the one to talk him down, which I really like. I know a lot of people ship the captain. The guy, the captain. The captain and the setter are definitely a really popular one. But the guy who like catches all of the volleyballs that are about to fall onto the ground.
Yeah, Tanaka. No, mm-hmm. is it Tanaka? No, it's Nishinoya.
Yes, there it is. Yes, Nishinoya and Asai a lot. Which is also great. I think it's a great dynamic. But I love the way Asai and Suga work because it's like Suga like calms Asai down a lot of times. And he's very like balanced. He kind of calms everyone down on the team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like you could make the argument for Suga for like any of the older guys.
For sure. He's so like the foundation in a weird way.
Yeah.
And like kind of just like the like, I don't know, the person who's just always there for everyone too.
Yeah. There's definitely like times when they talk about the emotions of like winning games and getting momentum and shit like that like, shoot, he will run in and like punch people in the stomach and like, what are you doing? We're playing a game. And then like just resets them because like he'll just like punch them and like slap them and they're like, got so caught off guard, but he's like, oh, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's like refreshing everybody.
Yes. But yeah, so that's my thoughts on lovely Haikyuu.
Hell yeah. I don't remember a lot. I checked on my anime list. I got up through chapter 193 and then I was just like, I won't read this anymore for no reason.
But I do that one all thing the that time.
They, yeah, right? One thing I remember they did really well, that's sort of like Naruto, is they take the opponents and they give you good detail on them and backstories and make you care about them. Mm-hmm, and I just, I love shows that do that. I love big ensemble shows.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most popular ships is like not even on the main team, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Oh, Who's the guy on the Crows team who is also just as excitable as Hinata? And, like, he's a little short guy.
I think that's Nishi.
It's either Nishi or Tanaka. Does he have, like... If he's the short guy, then it's Nishi.
Yes, I liked him.
If he's shaved good head, then it's Tanaka.
Tanaka's also great. Tanaka was originally my favorite character for a long time. Aww. He's so good.
Yeah, Haikyuu's the weird show that I feel like I'm almost better at processing emotions from it. Like, I remember when I started playing squash at work in order to work out and get some exercise.
That's fun.
Yeah, when I first started, I was like, okay, I got the point, let's do it. And move on. Because very much a person who was raised in that, as we've mentioned before, of like, don't overly bring attention to yourself, don't rejoice in your own works, that's the Lord. But, you know, watching Haikyuu with the boys, like, when they would score a point, just being,
Yes!
And just like kind of thinking like I can do a little bit of that. It's such a sort of like silly but understandable thing of like, you deserve to celebrate successes every now and again. And Haikyuu definitely helped that with me. And it definitely helped that I was playing like a one-on-one bap a ball back and forth game. So it made me better at squashing. Better at celebrating victories.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Josh, I almost want to get like a tattoo of it.
Oh, that would be sick as fuck. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Get like a volleyball on your like sternum.
Perfect.
I mean, I have a Hinata right here. You can't see it, but that's Hinata.
Oh yeah. I love that. Oh my god. Yes. I'm obsessed with anime figures.
Aww. Yeah.
Perfect.
That is very good.
Josh, have you consumed Haikyuu at all?
I have consumed Haikyuu TikTok. They stan Hinata on there from what I've seen. It looks like, I mean, everyone I know has always spoken like really highly of it. I haven't actually like witnessed the show myself, but I have seen like clips on Tumblr and like other things that like
his head.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like tips on like Tumblr and all that other stuff where you like actually that's like almost like the sign of like a good show is like when you see like a random ass clip on Tumblr and you watch it and you're like gripped emotionally by it and you're like, what is this? And then you have to go through like 75 million fucking notes to figure it out because no one wants to put it in the damn comments like, oh, this is what this is from.
Yeah.
It's so, yeah, I haven't seen it myself, but I've seen like super cute stuff about it.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like it follows the same similar trope of Naruto, of like the main character being good but an idiot, and then having a emotionally stunted rival. But one of the things that I absolutely love about Haikyuu is that both Hinata and Kageyama are idiots. Just garbage brain idiots. Yes. So often the foil character is like really good but has shit together. But there's like episodes where the two main characters of the show have to like stay back at school until they can get their grades up. And it's because they're so stupid. Their brain is only filled with volleyball.
That's
a cute... It'd be like if Sasuke was also... like bad,
dumb as fuck,
stupid,
Because like, I think it's dangerous and maybe problematic to read into different characters as having autism. But I think that the read on Kageyama many times has been very autistic. Very much, why are you mad at me? You messed up. I told you messed up. I don't have to, that's very much like, I'm very focused on this. I have to like plan it out, which some autistic people have kind of said, I see myself a little bit into that. So who knows if the creators thought of it that way or anything like that, but
I've talked,
what were you going to say?
I've talked about this a bit on Transformation Sequence, but my cute hot husband and I have what we like to call the theory of dumbass, which in order for us to like a show, the majority of characters must be dumbasses in some way. I feel like that applies to Naruto, because Naruto's just plain old dumbass.
Yes.
Sasuke's a dumbass when it comes to his emotions.
Yes.
Sakura's a dumbass when it comes to being self-aware.
Damn.
Same thing with One Piece. Like, all of the main crew are dumbasses in some way. And I don't know. I love a dumbass squad.
I get that. I absolutely get that.
Yeah. I'm also into a hashtag team stupid.
I'm trying to think of what show wouldn't have that I like. I mean, I think My Hero, I don't think Deku is a dumbass.
So no.
Other than just being...
He just has mad anxiety.
Yeah. I think in ways he is a dumbass, but like he is a smart person, but also a dumbass.
Right. Yeah.
He's like, he should stop. You should stop doing punches and kicks, but it's not... It's not quite the same thing. He's also a little more sort of like sheltered or...
Yeah, he's very earnest. Earnest. He's like earnest people.
Yeah. So I'll accept it.
But I'll accept it. awesome. So I this is a personal question for me, but I kind of wanted to ask, what's like an anime that really, really speaks to you and like remains to be one of your favorite because of how it has like emotionally impacted you? throughout life. Sorry, Kim's face is just so good during this.
Let me tell you about a show called Haikyuu.
I was kind of going off of that because I know this is like Tim's big thing is like he loves Haikyuu a lot. So I wanted to hear what like everyone else's is too.
mine is definitely Death Parade. Death Parade fucking shook me when it came out because I was in a very dark place when I first saw it. It's no secret that I have been depressed since I was very young, and I have dealt with suicidal ideation, and this is a show that sort of touches on it in a sort of magical yet really honest way. I fucking weep like a little fucking baby every time I watch it. Like, I remember I got to episode 4 and I, like, scream cried because, like, it's so good. Basically, the premise of the show is that when souls die, they're sent to a sort of limbo where they play bar games that are sort of influenced by what they did in life, and they either get sent to the void or to reincarnation. And just, like, it's about what it means to be human, and like it deals a lot with suicide and just like your drive to stay alive, like your drive to find what has meaning to you specifically, and it wrecks me. But like there are funny episodes like mixed in it, like it's not all like depression and stuff. Also, It looks gorgeous. The studio that did it, Madhouse, is one of my favorites of all time. They produce some really great anime that I love, like Monster. Mm-hmm. But Death Parade, fucking hands down. That was the show that made me go to therapy.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm not joking. That was the show that made me go to therapy.
Therapy. I believe it. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a masterpiece.
Josh, what's yours?
I was thinking about it, and I think I always come back to Fooly Cooly.
Yes! Because
when I saw that, I was at the... When I first saw Fooly Cooly, I was, like, at the age that I think it was meant for. Where... Because the overarching... It's, like, wild animation. It's, like, goofy-ass story. It's condensed into six, like, hyper-aggressive episodes. The animation is off the chain. Mm-hmm. The pillows still have, like, an intense, like, resonance with me. Every time I hear the pillows, I stand. The pillows are so good.
Right on Shooting Star.
Yes. But that's, like, it's the story boiled down and, like, dug into is, like, a coming of age, like, going through puberty. Mm-hmm. You could even go as far as saying, like, losing one's virginity type thing. A very much, like, a coming of age tale in multiple ways.
Yeah.
And for me, I was kind of at that point where I was, like, at the bridge to go to, like, okay, I'm no longer a literal child. I'm now, I'm walking towards becoming a young adult now. Like, going into teenhood, going into all of these new life experiences.
Not a girl, not yet a woman.
Yeah. Exactly that. Damn, that was a good Britney reference. That was very much, like, right at that point, like, going into that. And so, like, the show was really cool to give it just give me almost like a visual guide to getting to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that always, like, stuck out to me as being, like, my, like, that was my jam for a long time. And there are, like, other there aren't many other anime, I think, that have gotten me like that. There's, like, as an adult, like, Steven Universe ruined my life in a very fantastic way. Mm-hmm. But that's not an anime. But when it comes to anime, I always, like, duck back into Fooly Cooly. And there was, like, a thing I saw recently, and I think I shared it with, like, Jesse once, but it was, like, an Instagram story thing where you, like, circle the bands and they, like, battle until the end. You see what the band was. And when I did that, like, I always kept, like, circling back to Linkin Park. And Linkin Park is the same. Like, Linkin Park and Fooly Cooly happened at the exact point where, like, they appealed directly to me. And then from that point, like, I always grew up with Linkin Park. When they came out with another album, that's where I was emotionally, like, what that album was talking about. And Fooly Cooly was like, this starts where you needed it to. And then when you get to the end of it, like, that's where you need to be.
Mm-hmm. That's really great.
I love that. Awesome. So, Tim, I know we already talked about Haikyuu, but is there anything you want to, like, go off of or another show you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, in kind of a smaller way, I think so much of me, as I've sort of talked about, like, just as a person, is I don't try very hard at things. It's kind of silly to talk about, but, like, in a very small way, Goku has inspired me. Sometimes I use it as a joke thing, but, you know, I think when you just are shoved so much Goku content down your throat when you're a teenager, it's just so much of... It's the same thing. It was like Naruto or a thousand other animes. It's like, I am not going to give up. I'm going to look into my own strength. I'm going to rely on my friends. And I remember, like, doing a long running thing with to raise, I think it was charity or something like that. It's called Ragnar Relay. And having to run like 6 miles and be like, all right. And it was after like sleeping, cause you have to do like several stints. Like it's like 80 miles total.
Fuck. Up, oh my God.
Between like an entire team over like 2 full days or something like that. Maybe it was like 50. I don't really remember. So, like, this stint was my last one that I had to do. That was, like, 6 miles or something like that after I did 2 previous ones. And I slept like shit in a van and woke up early and I had the first leg that day. You have one team, 2 vans. So our van was, like, 5 people. The other van was, like, 5 people, something like that. So, like, this is my last stint that I had to do. And then you hand it off to the other team to kind of go back and forth so you can rest a little bit. And I was like, I'm going to fucking die. There's this, like, Goku! If Goku could do that, you know, it was like a little tongue-in-cheek, but sometimes you need a little tongue-in-cheek basic shit to get you through that. And, you know, like, just sort of that whole idea of escapism, and seeing the good guys win. I think there's such basic power in more or less simple tropes so I mean, I don't think I really felt a million emotions when I first watched Dragon Ball Z like I did obviously when Krillin died. I fucking lost it, but like just kind of like just the whole idea of just like digging deep when you feel like you're empty, you can add a little more.
How about you, Jesse? Okay, so for me, it's Eureka 7. Anime holds such a special place in my heart. It's not the first anime I watched, but it's in the batch of, like, when I first started getting into anime, it was one of the ones I watched. And I relate very severely to a character in the anime called Anemone, because she has really severe emotional problems throughout the entire show. And she has problems controlling her emotions and, like, being able to act normal in a lot of ways. And I just relate to that to such a deep level because I have a lot of those similar problems of, like, trying to rein in my emotions and, like, act like a quote-unquote sane person a lot of times. But, like, she's going through very real shit in the show, and she has every right to, like, lose her shit all the time. But, like, she still tries very hard to, like, keep it under wraps. But, like, she has manic episodes in the show where she completely loses it. But I really love that an anime went out of their way to show someone going full manic.
Yeah.
And you don't see it very often. And a lot of times it's romanticized. And I really like that for her, it's very, very raw. And it's really, really real. And it just, like, it hits me so, so perfectly. I also think the character development in Eureka 7 is, especially early on, like, it was an earlier anime. It's masterclass. The entire anime, in my opinion, is masterclass. It's done by A1 Studios. So it looks gorgeous. It's one of the few animes during this time, too, where they were just like, not all white people.
Wait, what do you mean?
Yeah. So which is also, like, really, really cool. And a lot of the things in that show you have to grapple with. So, like, a lot of the show is kind of about, like, global warming and like, how people, like, destroy the planet and things like that. And there's a big twist in the show itself. But it's just, it's so good. And every time I watch it, I get so emotional. And it's a romance show, too. So, like, it's weird because it's very much, like, it's based on romance between two characters named Renton and Eureka. However, they have to grapple with, like, a lot of very, like, crazy shit going on around them at the same time. And it's about this, like, rebel cell that's, like, going against the military. And, like, fighting against the military to, like, try and reclaim the planet. It actually has a – and I'm talking about it. It has a lot of similar themes to Final Fantasy VII.
Hell yeah! Oh, shit.
Like,
so that's
lot.
Why you like it.
Yes, so I definitely like it for that reason, but, like, each character, too, and it's not just, like, the main two characters that get, like, really well-done character development. It's every single side character. They basically, like, live on a ship. It's called the Gecko State, and every character on that ship gets, like, major plots and, like, major character development, and it's like, it's really, really cool, and they all, like, are a family, but they all have really intense issues where, like, Renton, like, runs away because he's, like, you guys don't care about me, so I'm gonna fucking go now. And, like, it's like hard themes that everyone has to grapple with, but the show does it in a really cool way of not ignoring those themes, not shying away from the awkwardness and hardness of those themes, but also, like, getting through them too.
Yeah.
So, it's good. It's good that shit. Sounds, I gotta rewatch
hell
it.
Yeah.
Soon.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's
hell
good.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh my god! If you watch it, please text me.
Yes.
Have you guys watched Ping Pong, the animation?
Yeah,
I haven't, but I've been meaning to.
Yeah, I mean, it take the entire run of Haikyuu and condense it to however many episodes that has. I mean, it just proves why sports anime are not about sports. It's just like exceptionalism, God-given birth, talent, and taking the talent that you sort of have, your dreams and stuff like that. That one was another one that is just like, it's so interesting to see. It's just anxiety attack the show, you know.
Yeah.
And the artistry in it just changes so much depending on what's happening, and there's like so much. It's so much like, oh, this is expectations. This is society mm-hmm. on you. And I think that's one reason why I love Haikyuu. And that's one, and I think that's what you get so much out of Ping Pong, the animation. And I just wanted to bring it up, because not to say like, oh, here's another sports anime, but because I listen, that's probably the number one soundtrack of anything that I listen to. Whenever yes. I need to get shit done, I just throw that soundtrack. It's so fucking good. It's
so good.
Like, it's the best anime from an art perspective that I've ever seen, to the extent of like that. It's worthwhile to get into anime via Fullmetal Alchemist and a couple other yes. shows, so that you are capable mm-hmm. of digesting Ping Pong. It's like insane that a show yeah. like that was ever made. It's amazing.
Transcends genre. Yes. Like, it is an art unto itself. Yes. Like, it's such a great show.
And some fucking cowards out there are like, the animation's bad, I can't watch it. And it just drives me up a fucking wall. Because, like, you know, like the whole Sakuga thing of like, sometimes that they lean into just like, the style over.
Yeah.
What, like, there's certain ping pong, and it's they're playing ping pong, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's certain ping pong battles that you can almost never tell what's going on, because it's just like them swinging and like blurring yeah. into nothing, and it just looks like a primordial soup going back and forth, or they turn into like jets and shit like that. But it's so good, and also there's like a Chinese character, so there's like a lot of really fun stuff of like, I'm Chinese, you're Japanese, how are we gonna deal with that type mm-hmm. stuff like that. It's good. Yeah. It's good.
Oh, that's awesome.
I got chills when you're talking about it, just like remembering how good it is.
I mean, there's a song that just goes throughout the entire show, and then they explain, like, they're explaining it one way, and then they, like, reframe what the song is, and then it's, like, hummed by, like, another character, and you just start, like, bawling. It's so yes. fucking...
Oh, my God.
Because you just hear him just, like, humming it slightly, because there's, like... Yeah, I won't get deep into it, but it's just, like... Just reframe... It's kind of stupid, but, like, they... the most recent expansion for Destiny 2, there is this thing of, like, the main bad guy is this lady called Savathun, and she kind of, like, corrupts everything and twists it, and there's always been this thing, the song of Savathun is gonna, like, destroy us, and mm-hmm, she gets, like, mm-hmm. a little bit of the song through. And they introduce Shadowkeep, and it's like this big blaring opening music, and that's yeah. and if you're on PlayStation, it takes 5 fucking minutes to get to like load in the game. And then slowly but surely the people piece together over the course of this year that the song that song is Savathun's song. So the song that is in hell like yeah. embedded into all of our heads what? Is like is literally the in-game version, like in-game character sing it.
That's cool.
And it's like that whole thing of like the giving something that can be appear as mundane or rote and then twisting it just a little bit, whether mm-hmm. it's having someone sing it shittily to be like, oh fuck, that's that, oh fuck, that's that, is so good.
Oh,
and
I love
a recent
that.
Episode of Naruto does that, and it's amazing.
Oh, that's so good.
Slightly, also, to the different way.
I'm so sorry. I said A1 Studios for Eureka Summon. It's actually Studio Bones. My bad.
Oh, Based Bones? Yes. Are we talking about Based Bones? So good. Fucking Blood Blockade Battlefront. That's another one from Bones that like made me lose my absolute shit.
They're so, so good. They're so good. I mean, oh, I love Studio Bones so much, but... Yes, 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 yes. Oh my gosh, all good shit. I want to watch Ping Pong now. Very, very bad.
Yeah!
It's not that long. It's like 6 episodes, 8 episodes.
I will check it
12?
Out.
12? Yeah.
But they're deep. They're fucking...
Yeah.
I mean, I love when an anime does that. When an anime gives you not a bunch of stuff, mm-hmm. just like, hey, we're going to do... Like, it. Some anime doesn't need, like... endless seasons. Like, Naruto is great because it goes on forever and you can like keep watching it and keep enjoying mm-hmm, it and stuff mm-hmm. and then stuff like Foolie Cooly or Ping Pong where it's just like, heavy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I can watch Fooly Cooly all surface level and just be like, oh, that was like a fun time of doing whatever. Or I can literally take an episode and write like a whole essay in my high school about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Death Parade is also only 12 episodes and it just like got my ass. Also, I forgot to mention, the OP of Death Parade is like super fun. Everyone's dancing, having a good time. And then it like sends you back into despair. And
oh my God.
It was one of the first episodes we did for Transformation Sequence. Oh. And Vince brought up, it's a danse macabre. It's like dancing with death, like the celebration of both life and death at the same time. And I was just like, Vince, you're too smart to be my friend.
I learned so much. Yeah, Eureka 7 is a little longer. I think it's about 50 episodes or so.
Okay.
The other reason I really love it was when I first watched it, I was huge, very, very, very big into snowboarding. It was like,
ooh.
It was totally.
X Games Jesse.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I was like obsessed. Like I was very hyper fixated on it and I really wanted to get as good as I possibly could about it. And the thing in Eureka 7 is they all like ride basically these like hoverboards that they use. So like the world they live on is different, where the atmosphere actually creates waves that you can like ride boards on and stuff like that. And so it's like this rebel group that also does this like wave riding type of thing in the sky. It's very cool.
That's cool.
Hell yeah.
Yes. So it totally spoke to me at that time, but like it still speaks to me now and it's very good. But yes, oh my gosh, this conversation has been very good. I love everyone's suggestions. I want to watch all these animes now.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I will say, this is kind of funny. The first time I ever noticed Sakuga was when I was watching Bleach, and it was the Ichigo Green Zhao fight. That is a Sakuga moment, and I watched it when it like first aired, and I was like very taken aback because I was like, I've never seen animation this good before. What the fuck is happening? And at the time, I didn't realize it was Sakuga, but like looking back now, it's very funny because that was the first time it like snapped in my brain of like, something's different here. They're doing something here that's different than the norm.
Looks a little different. Why are the colors flat?
Am I the only one who didn't completely hate the Hueco Mundo arc? Like, I did not mind that.
I didn't hate it. I really like Green Joe as a character too.
Yes!
I don't know what you're saying. I either quit on that arc or the arc.
Okay, yeah.
I think the anime put in the bounce before that.
No, yeah, I think a lot of people stop at the beginning
of the bounce.
Yeah.
The bounce one's bad. Delete.
Yes.
I've said it before, but, and then Jennifer tried to push through and was like, what the fuck are all these vampires? What's happening?
Yeah,
and she gave up.
Yeah, the bounce.
I had the benefit of it just constantly airing on fucking Adult Swim non-goddamn stop, so that's the only reason I stuck around.
Oh, I think Josh froze.
Oh, am I?
Oh.
You froze, but we can still hear you.
We can hear you.
See? It's my magic trick.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, awesome. So let's go ahead and do another suggestion, and maybe if we have time after that, we will do one more. But do you guys want to do ships or jutsus? Favorite ships, favorite jutsu so far?
Let's do the ninja arts.
Okay, awesome. That's a good one. Josh, you have yours in mind.
I enjoy any ninja arts that deal with wind or air manipulation. That is like my go-to. Ooh. Like element of choice. When I was learning martial arts, I was very much, my instructor always told me that I was very aligned with wind and air movements. That's why I did open palm stuff. That's why I learned to circle walk.
Aww.
That's why I my emphasis is on like freedom of movement and all that good stuff. And he said that's very something that comes from the air. I'm a Gemini. That's sick. Would use an air sign.
Yes.
Although it's not related, that's a coincidence. That's more a coincidence. But yeah, because my instructor was my opposite. So he was very like grounded and solid standing and very unmovable. Yeah. Where I was like, oh no, I want to be free. Don't wrestle me. Don't grapple me. Let me bounce around. So anything that Tamari does, I'm into.
Yes.
I'm trying to think if there's any other instances of it before we get to other stuff. Yeah, there's like, to be honest, there's like a lot of wind release stuff that comes up soon. Yeah. But yeah, anything that's like wind release, I am 1000% there for. because that is always good. And Tamari is just like the perfect example of just being like, I'm going to blow this whole shit up with my fan.
Absolutely. Awesome. Tim, what is your favorite jutsu you've seen from the show so far?
I mean, I don't know.
we can come back to you if you're not ready.
Yeah, I don't really have one. I think like so many of the jutsus are kind of introduced as being initially overpowered, and you see their weakness, and you see some other horrific side ones. So I'm not even sure. I think Orochimaru turning into snakes was good. I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. That was good to me. But I don't really have an answer yet. I am excited to have an answer. There's a lot of stuff I like, but nothing's really.
Actually, no, this is good because one day when we get to Shippuden, we can revisit this question.
Yeah.
Recheck in.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. Kim, what's yours? Without being too spoilery.
Yes. I really like summoning jutsu.
They're so good.
Are my favorites. Like, it's very fun to see who summons what and what it says about their personality. And there's some spooky summoning jutsu without like getting into the details. I really enjoy that.
Yes.
I also like body horror jutsu. When people do weird shit with their body, it makes me pull my glasses down a little bit and say, I like Junji Ito.
That's some of the stuff I liked about the snake shit. It's just like some otherworldly, like, what the fuck? This is new rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. I also like that some of that body horror stuff has like really goofy names. Like the stuff that like Orochimaru does with his weird body that we've seen in like the forest, and then his like other pal that fought Konkoro. Mm-hmm. It's called like the soft body jutsu or something weird like that. And you're just like,
that's what I got, baby.
Soft body king.
Yeah, you're just like, don't call it that. Like,
can you try to be a little more intimidating?
I like genjutsu, specifically any genjutsu that makes Sakura think Sasuke's dead. That is my favorite.
Those are good. Those are really good.
Oh my god.
What about you, Jesse?
For me, I think I'm pretty basic. I really like the shadow possession jutsu a lot.
Yes.
Not only is it like sick as fuck, and it's also one of the cooler naming jutsus, but I do like the evolution of it later on. How you have to think about what you're doing with that jutsu. You can't, it's not like too overpowered. You always have to be very conscious of like everything that's happening around you. And it always creates a really interesting narrative when when Shikamaru uses it, because it's not like a immediately get, like it kind of seems like it is. I think it's clever, and I think it's really cool too.
yeah. When he bonks that girl in the head, it's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like, so good.
Bending backwards, that's so good.
Shikamaru's flexibility is so funny.
Yes.
He's just like, oh yeah, backbend, bonk.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Well, I think that kind of brings us to the end of Slice of Life. Yeah. So
thank you.
Thank you so much, patrons. We appreciate it so, so much. We will be back again next month. So, Kakashis, if you have suggestions or things you would like to hear us discuss, go ahead and leave that in the Discord chat, and we will definitely reference it back next time we record. Yeah. But in the meantime, have a great time and take care of yourselves.
Bye!
Bye.
Who's that?
Sasuke, and yet...